It is Monday, April 16th, 2018 at 6 p.m. This is the meeting of the Public Safety Committee. Please call the meeting to order.
Mayor Pro Tem Rossini.
Here.
Councilman Pitts.
Here.
For the record, we have Chief Kovacs and Lieutenant Rich from Sheriff and the OC Fire Authority, respectively.
All right, I don't see any members of the public present. I'll make a request for any public comment. Hearing none, seeing none, let's move on to the discussion items. Villa Park Professional Resident Emergency Preparedness Action. We need to provide direction to staff. This comes out of the origins of this, the Villa Park Prep Program, the task force. Comes out of the origins of the CERT. For approximately the last, if you'll indulge me, Steve, for about the last year or so, year and a half, the Law Enforcement Advisory Committee has worked diligently with the current head of the CERT program, Tom Dodge, who has done a fantastic, he's put forth a fantastic effort and met brick wall after brick wall after brick wall after brick wall. It's been very difficult for him. There are a lot of bureaucratic layers that he's had to deal with and had to try to go around, and hasn't been able to make as much headway as he would like or members of the community and the council would like. So there was a agendized item that redirected CERT to move from the Law Enforcement Advisory Committee and to the Public Safety Committee, a city council agendized committee, and try to get a little more push on this, see with maybe some different minds, some different ideas. Plus, the problem with the Law Enforcement Advisory Committee, there's no fire element. One of the big issues that we're going to face with any natural disaster or emergency response is the involvement of our colleagues, friends, and allies with the Orange County Fire Authority. So even though we could obviously invite Chief Kovacs, I think that this is a more appropriate place for it, and hopefully we can combine our resources with Neighborhood Watch, the efforts of Tom Dodge and his predecessors, the late Pete Moriarty, Orange County Fire Authority, Councilmember Pitts, Steve Franks, and try to put forth a program, whether it's a city program or whether it's a non-city program, much like Neighborhood Watch. Biggest thing is to get a bunch of residents trained up in emergency preparedness, first aid, CPR, to try to help out our community if there's ever a natural disaster. Get the lines of communication open and get us all trained up. And that's more or less what I've got. Steve, I'd love for you to chime in if you've got any additional ideas.
No, it's just at this point, one of the issues that came up in the past was, and this again precedes sort of both of our involvement, but the discussion of workers' comp that was under the old CERT, that and that was one of the reasons, I guess, there was a loss of momentum or a loss of activity or
right.
Whatever. Again, I don't know what that is. I can't tell you off the top of my head what we're tracking down, what workers' comp actual costs will be, because it's a calculation. It gets a little complicated with volunteers and whatnot. It's not like applying employees mm-hmm. to it. So anyway, that's the issue as I know it, is there's some, there is a very strong presence elsewhere around the county. You guys know of them?
Efforts have been made to try to work with the city of Orange, but unfortunately that invitation frankly never was accepted on their end to try to partner with us. Efforts have been made. I believe Councilmember Pitts, you and I spoke about that. A number of folks reach out, and it doesn't really work out for them, and understandably so. You know, they've got their way of doing things, and we obviously want to partner with them in any chance we can and work with them, but it's got to work for Villa Park. So I appreciate your comments, your concerns. You're a former CERT member, and I'm really looking forward to your take on how we can make the Villa Park Prep Program a reality.
Well, I guess I'd ask the two professionals what they've seen out there.
Absolutely.
In the field, you know, outside of CERT, what are the other communities doing maybe we haven't thought of yet. I mean, because we obviously went the CERT route. Myself, along with probably three dozen people, went through the whole program that you guys trained us on. You know, we went through CPR, went through all the training and so forth. And, you know, the only thing that concerns me about something that's not sanctioned by the city is potential liability that exists potentially with a non-sanctioned group of people that are not tied with the city, doing search and rescue and things like that in the event of a disaster. And I realize that, you know, one of the things that fire drilled in our head for many, many, many moons was, hey, it might be as much as a week, 10 days, two weeks before we get to you. The same thing with the sheriff. So
I think that's a great point. I think, and you know, I think Todd can shed some light on this, but I believe the Good Samaritan law would cover individual actors, individual residents who act upon their own volition in whatever capacity, whatever level of training that they have. I'm not a city attorney. I don't plan to be a city attorney. I don't pretend to be a city attorney. I know a few of them, but I think that Todd can shed some light on that, and I think they would be more than covered. And I would, one direction is to have that.
Correct me if I'm wrong, the Good Samaritan law, the only thing I do know that is also the double-sided. Once you start something, you can't stop.
Right.
Correct. I mean, that's sort of, so if you start CPR, you don't get to stop. And those sort of things. So those are sort of like, I know that has been an issue. I talked to another city manager, and he had a bunch of volunteers in it. And I'm not, you know, I'm going to try, but I'm not standing there for an hour or whatever doing this.
But even those who are professionally trained,
right,
when they reach the point of exhaustion and literally physically can no longer do it, have the authority per policy to not continue CPR to recuperate so they can get their own strength back to then continue efforts. So, and, that's
absolutely correct.
Thank you.
But I think that the concern, and I talked to a city manager about saying what you guys did, and he said that they lost a lot of volunteers for fear that they didn't know when to make the call and whatnot, and then they're going to have personal liability.
Nobody wants that responsibility.
Right.
That's a call.
Especially when you're thinking you may be caring for someone for days.
Right.
So that, and when you saw, recognizing that there is some provision, it's there, the one like, well, it's going to come back on me. I'm going to have to defend myself in court or whatever at some point. So they lost some, and some of the cities, surrounding cities lost.
Well, I think we, as perhaps some of the architects of this, need to get the point out there, need to get that dialogue, that message, that no disrespect to the attorneys that want to litigate that kind of thing, common sense. You go until you're exhausted. You recuperate. And if you still don't have a pulse, you still don't have respirations, you try to continue that again. If there's somebody nearby, you flag them down. This is in a worst-case scenario, mass casualty incident, 10 on the Richter scale earthquake situation. This is not something where we would want any resident volunteer to get into something that the Orange County Fire Authority would routinely respond to or the Sheriff's Department. This is the... something of a disastrous magnitude that where our legitimate full-time professional
nurses responded. Some of the city managers who I talked to, again, and I don't mean to, their concern is they may be fully trained CERT, they don't know how they'll really activate in the event of emergency because they don't know about communication. They do have channels and things, but when, you know, some of these people are not, you know, they're gung-ho until... they don't know. So it's not, they're not pressure tested, if you will.
So
that's some of their concerns about how they, you know, they've got an active program, they train them, they do everything. But in the event of emergency, they're not relying on them as a primary responder.
Unfortunately, we run that risk with any volunteer, whether it's a professional service responder, a PSR, whether that's a reserve deputy, no disrespect. I think most of them are absolutely phenomenal and respond in a snap of the fingers, much as any routinely sworn officer would. But that's a risk that...
But this is not, you're not proposing a Villa Park sanctioned situation, because you're still tying yourself, I think, to this effort as a city.
Pardon me?
So you're just going to you're going to take this and give it to Neighborhood Watch, and Neighborhood Watch is going to be self-sustaining, no city involvement, no direction, no nothing.
I don't think that that's necessarily what I'm stating. What I'm stating is I think we need to have a general discussion amongst the key actors, the stakeholders in this, which I would say the two biggest ones are the two are represented by the two gentlemen at this table right here. Perhaps number three being Steve. He can speak to the liability, and I think he's trying to do that. Whatever vehicle is chosen obviously needs to be vetted through our city attorney, our city manager, and these two gentlemen. So if that's the most appropriate vehicle, given the lack of traction that we've gotten on this item, then yeah, that's what I'm proposing to do. But I want to make sure that we have eyes wide open as far as liability, as far as training, as far as acceptance within the community, so that we can get something rolling that is well thought out and going to be effective in that worst case scenario. Yes, we do. We are at the mercy of volunteers in a situation like the one that I was describing, where it's a, you know, San Andreas Fault type earthquake.
Has Neighborhood Watch said that there's an interest to do this, to take the lead and do this?
That is my understanding with a number of block captains that I've spoken to, as well as Wayne Silzel.
Okay. What is it? What else? What do you guys see in those communities? I mean, is everybody CERT, or is there some CERT and some not CERT?
There's two programs. There's SEPA, and then there's CERT. And in essence, they're basically the same thing. Mm-hmm. They provide the same content. And I guess my question to you was, did you feel like the content you received in your CERT training was what you're looking to accomplish here? Did you feel like it was a value and
yes,
good information?
Absolutely, because, you know, I realize that we're not field tested. However, we were put through a lot of exercise, fake exercises, mm-hmm, if you will, to see how we would perform.
Okay.
In the event there was, we went over to Placentia and went into a building that was supposed to be collapsed. Mm. There were bodies on the floor, under
right.
tables and everything
yep.
else. And you had to, you know, bring them out and triage them and do all that. So, I mean, we were, I really appreciate the training that we really
right.
got, because even for my family, it was something good for me to have.
Yeah, so, I mean, we have a pretty robust CERT program, both in Tustin, Yorba Linda, Placentia, all the cities in my division, with the exception of Villa Park. You know, we can do all of it. We can do components of it and not call it CERT.
How does it work? I mean, because I'm, you know, the city managers are kind of, they talk, you're mentioning fire authority cities. Do they, there's another group up there.
Oh.
Do you take responsibility for administering, recruiting, and how does it work when you do those cities?
So typically that is done in conjunction with either the city manager, or it's done through, like with Yorba Linda, it's done with one of our retired battalion chiefs, who's their emergency planning coordinator. So he basically facilitates the day-to-day nuts and bolts of the program, and then we come in and provide the instruction. So the only question I have that I need to identify is the liability piece, but we basically come in and provide the instruction. And then there's a cost to the city to buy them helmets and flashlights and vests and, you know, that paraphernalia, mm-hmm. and I'm sure there's probably grant monies and things like mm-hmm. that available mm-hmm. To not put that cost directly on the city, mm-hmm. and we can certainly work through the logistics of that. But I would, in my humble opinion, I would just try to model a CERT program much like all the other cities are doing, especially now with the active shooter incidents that we're seeing. There's a new program now called Stop the Bleeding that's kind of taken on a new priority because in light of what's been going on, the hands-only CPR has really, not only is it easy to teach, but It's what they're identifying as to be really effective in those cardiac arrest situations.
It takes the communicable disease aspect, perhaps.
It's safe for the rescuer. Mm-hmm. It's very simple to train, not having to teach them the mouth-to-mouth component and, you know, the external defibrillator component. So that's very simple. I haven't looked at the CERT content in quite some time, but I would just recommend doing a CERT program, and then we'll figure out the logistics of who would be responsible for what content. And then we typically find, at least from the fireside, we'll find somebody that has a vested interest in the in delivering the content, and you know, we'll provide that. You provide the facilities and the refreshments, and we'll kind of do the rest. So the only piece I have is just the liability, but I'm assuming since it's being done elsewhere to great effect, I don't see that being an issue.
It's a budget item.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, there will be
certainly
a cost.
It's a budget item, but you know, we do have some very charitable groups of which you're a member of, Rotary as well as the foundation. There might even be some other folks out there that would chip in to offset some cost. And having a program of starting in, just say, rough numbers, a dozen people around the city. If more needed, we can expand it. But having just a small number, have an achievable goal, getting the word out there, getting them trained up, getting that program off the drawing board and into reality, I think would be huge for the city from a morale perspective. And then we kind of test it and see how it works, and if there's any issues that we come across, and we can deal with it. And with that number of people, I think it's useful from the standpoint of it's not too big to manage, and it's not too small where it doesn't make a difference.
Yeah, I mean, the more people you get trained up and provide them this information, I mean,
it's also about coverage too.
Right.
You know, having enough people to cover the city in the event of a disaster.
Right.
People that are trained to do all the appropriate things. I mean, again, you consider the worst when you look at these things, because if you don't, you're not prepared. You don't train people in an appropriate manner. But, you know, when you've got 6,600 homes that you have to go through in a fairly short period of time, you guys know what that's like. And it's not... If you've got victims that are unconscious and lying there and can't respond to you, and you've got to do a search inside that building, then it takes even longer to do that, and even to mark the building so that when you do finally come along, you understand the deposition of the of the facility or whatever.
But it's also a triage situation too.
Yes.
If you've got somebody, you know, I have no plasma, I have no oxygen, I have no defibrillator, I have no detectable pulse, you're pinned under a 8x12 that's 20 feet long. There's a tough decision you have to make, and that's where the training comes in. And would I want to be in that situation, even as a professional? No. But could that situation occur?
Yeah.
And that's where I think the training has to kick in.
Yeah, and I don't think the expectation would be that CERT member or those CERT members would be responsible for canvassing every home in the city.
But I agree.
Where they start is at home, securing their own property, attending to the needs of their family and loved ones, and then actively engaging on their street, for example.
Yep.
And then over time, I think when you highlight this program and you get some financial support, you know, CERT program being offered by the city of Villa Park in conjunction with the Chamber of Commerce, et cetera, that helps support it financially. Mm-hmm. I think once you graduate that first class and the residents see the value in having this program, and we can highlight recent fires, the floods in Northern California, et cetera, I think once we see the success of that first program, then we'll get more and more people interested in the program. And now you have maybe a resident, you know, every couple of blocks that at least can start to go to work when that disaster occurs.
And that's exactly where at least my mental thought process is to get this started. It isn't so much in the search and rescue piece. I'm not comfortable with volunteers and telling them that they should go into a collapsed building and try to retrieve bodies or deal with injured folks, because what they may do is wind up creating an even bigger issue, because then they get hurt or they get pinned. But if they know CPR and they can help out in some way, if they can take care of their family and spread the word about CPR and three-day preparedness, know how to turn off gas, know how to cleanse water with bare minimum of equipment, just simple things. I think that will make our community as a whole safer and better prepared, whatever we face. Evacuation. Certainly, I want to give credit where credit's due to Councilwoman Fasanelli for having the town hall that she had. That certainly is a wonderful aspect to provide the community too. But I think this is more in the day-to-day what's going to get the job done, and that's why I suggest this program.
So, Andy, I mean, I hate to, you know, one of the things I get hired for is protecting the city's budget. We're a structural fire fund city.
Mm-hmm.
What about if we were to say we take the we'll buy the equipment, we'll do a one-time, that's a one-time,
right.
That's a better, you know, it sounds like a big hit, but it's right. The first investment is easier one than the ongoing, you know, workers' comp or right. Whatever else. Is that something that the fire authority could assume? Because we're a small city. I mean, I've got a total budget of $3 million for their general fund.
Right.
So while, you know, you're talking about some of these other cities, we're a rounding error for them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm more concerned about if I could come up with money and get an initial, fully equip everybody,
right.
You know, get X number of stations or whatever you felt that we would need, you know, personal stations,
right.
20, 30, whatever bags or all that kind of stuff. And we said it. Is that something from a liability perspective? We share all liability. I
sure.
Take that back. From a workers' comp perspective, is that something that the fire authority could assume because you have probably much better rates
yeah.
than we're going to ever get?
And I don't know.
As a single entity, we're very small. We don't command the kind of...
Right.
You guys got hundreds of employees. I got, you know, 8.
Right.
So it just doesn't compare. So I'm working through Cal JPIA.
Right.
And you guys got your self-insured.
Yeah, and that's the one piece that I don't have the answer for.
And I don't know, but David, I mean, if I want to be a partnership, but if we can give you
The other thing about out-of-pocket money is there are probably 30 to 50 kits already out
there. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. We can pull together a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And
that's the kind of thing that even if one of the nonprofits said, you know, hey, Rotary said, hey, we'll give you $2,000 or $3,000 or something for those. We can muster together the equipment. I'm not worried so much about that. What worries me is that ongoing, the shared liability, we're all in this together. I mean, I get that, and that's not a problem because we've got that. But from an ongoing day-to-day standpoint, the workers' comp is what's going to drown us financially.
Yeah, and that's the only piece I really need to get clarification on. I don't know what that relationship looks like, but I know it's being done across the county, so I can't imagine why that would be an issue here.
I mean, some of these, like you mentioned, Tustin and Yorba, they're so large too. They're much larger than otherwise.
Right. But you know, the OCFA will provide the instruction free of charge.
Yeah.
We will pay our folks some backfill to come in and ensure that they provide that instruction to your residents. So that's really the only piece that I have. And then I think to your point, where this really also comes in handy, those emergencies maybe we all may experience once in our lifetime, but to know CPR with all your residential pools, you know, and an aging population, you know, if that's your members in the grocery store when somebody has a heart attack, or a resident comes and knocks on their door and says, I have a drowning in my backyard pool, I know you're part of the CERT team and you know some of these basic skills. I think that's where the program will, day-to-day, will pay dividends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, granted, on the wide-scale emergency, you know, those are few and far between, thankfully. You know, we'll put them to work. It's going to take us, you know, we tell everybody, 48, 72 hours, you're on your own. We're going to be dealing with all the, you know, the collapsed hospitals and freeway overpasses that are damaged, the flooding reservoir. We're not going to be able to come to every individual home for weeks, you know, potentially until we can pool all our resources and get out here. And so really this program just messages, self-reliance for that 48 to 72 hours, how to be prepared, and then really just to be a good neighbor mm-hmm. and to help your immediate neighbors get through the crisis situation.
Is this primarily a fire, or does do you guys, where do you
It's primarily fire, but it's...
The only thing I think we've even came on board recently has just been more like the active shooter stuff like mm-hmm. that, doing mm-hmm. some training related to that. But it's always traditionally been very fire intensive.
Mm-hmm. But it's always been kind of a joint effort and a shared responsibility. And I don't know if it's like 70-30 or 60-40 or whatever, but yeah.
80-20.
80-20.
And I know that in speaking
I'm
with...
I'm going to pay you guys. I'm going to pay him.
I know in speaking with...
A roundabout way.
In speaking with Tom Dodge, I know he worked with, at the time, Lieutenant Puckett, now Captain mm-hmm. Puckett. So there was a piece of the puzzle there. But I do agree with your assessment. It's certainly the lion's share of it is on the Orange County
Fire. Well, I think they were looking at the PSR as sort of the liaisons mm-hmm. to CERT, which I don't know that that's probably the way to go. Mm-hmm. They control the PSRs.
Correct.
They you train them and do all that. Mm-hmm. And we only have four, as I'm aware.
Correct.
Four.
In Villa Park.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's, okay. I don't know that that's, I'm kind of just, I'd rather separate because PSRs are used for other things mm-hmm. that CERT doesn't really work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Now, Steve, are you trying to get back to the traditional model of a CERT program? Or
I don't know. I'm just, if they'll pay, I'll do it.
Okay.
You know, I think we, you know, what he's saying, Andy's saying is if model it at something along those lines, if that works.
I don't see any reason why we can't offer you a full CERT program and we'll, I mean... The product's already in the can.
We'll pay.
I think he has to talk to Mr. Kindig about that.
Yeah. I don't know what that is. That's a great question. I don't know how it's done in other places.
You know, we have, if I get a call, I'm willing to bet we have bags and bags of equipment that will come back
that's
in.
That's great.
There were up to 40 people that were in CERT certified. And so we have a trailer out back.
I know a number of them.
Yeah, we have a trailer out back that has equipment full of it. We have stuff that just has never been used.
Yeah, I don't know if they have to sign some waiver of liability.
Well, we collect that stuff back, I wouldn't think. But what we did easily sign
one before.
Yeah, I'm sure that there's some protection afforded to the city and the fire authority.
I'm thinking the workers' comp is what we've been told is sort of an ongoing expense related. And I don't know how that works, but... We don't have CERT. I've been told
I'll figure that piece out.
I've been told by the other city managers, watch out for that. Because that's a sort of
I've never heard of that being an issue in any of our CERT programs.
Well, they pay it. I mean, they pay it.
I would assume they're going to have to be covered workers' comp-wise when they're doing any training. Mm-hmm. If they're activated and something was to happen to them, they would have to be covered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but for us, you have to basically get blanket service. Yes.
Right.
And that would, like, quadruple our workforce.
Sure. Right.
To get that many people, I mean, it would just be huge. That's the concern, is because they blanket ratio in Cal State PIA. And that's what you guys have the ability to say that's...
Right. Okay, well, I'll certainly look into that.
I'd appreciate that.
I mean, that's sort of what I'm thinking, is that mm-hmm. what makes this a problem has made this up to this point.
Got it.
Right, now...
I apologize. I would just say, you know, we shoot for the moon and go for a full CERT program.
Okay.
And then based on, you know, some of the feedback I get regarding your concerns, you know, then maybe we tailor it to something a little less than that. But, again, I don't see why we couldn't go for the full CERT program.
Okay. Robbie, are you good with that?
In the past, it's been Tom Dodge and Pete Marardi that were the here. Is that traditionally what it is? You talked about a retiree up in... we probably got retirees somewhere here. I don't know.
We need a coordinator.
Is that what you're saying?
We'll provide the coordination as well. If you don't have somebody in house to do it,
I don't know that we do.
Right.
And I if you do, it's the desire is that somebody who's in your infrastructure, if you will.
Right.
Because that's the ideal world for us. Because then we've got everything trained and equipped and everything, and mm-hmm. I don't have to, you know, if somebody says, hey, I'm done because I'm just tired.
Right.
And I had a guy come in and drop off a bag about a month and a half ago and said, we used to be in CERT, no one's doing it anymore, but my wife told me I can't do it anymore, even if we did keep it going.
Okay.
Because he's retired.
There were quite a few retired folks mm-hmm. that were mm-hmm. that went through it, but there were quite a few young people that went through it as well and went through all the training and stuff.
Well, we'll be happy to get a call. I bet if we put out a call and start trying to say, hey, we're trying to recruit people, we'll get a healthy number of people, I'm sure, in Villa Park will come forward. And I just, and it, I think you have a lot of people that were done before and will do it now. Mm-hmm. Your help would be great.
No problem.
We don't have the expertise here.
Right. We can have that conversation, you know, down the road, but whether it's once a year, twice a year, however mm-hmm. much interest you think this will get, you know, we can offer that level, and then obviously we'll just need to do some annual refresher training. Mm-hmm. And that brings back the CERT members too, to continue to stay not only informed and educated, but involved, and they don't...
The things evolve and change.
Yep.
Yeah, right. We can remind them to bring their bags, and if there's anything that's expired and needs to be updated or recalled, what mm-hmm. have you, then...
If you want, I mean, I'd be happy to, as a direction, if you want us, Andy and I kind of work together, if that's the direction we can kind of get to... You know, leaning heavily on the fire authority.
Yeah, no problem.
Just simply, I mean, if we were a larger city, I'd say just point us in our direction, we'll go there. But we're so small, we need...
The only thing that's really going to expire in the bag is your batteries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everything else is, you know, with the exception of a couple of things, you refresh it or you mm-hmm. keep it. Bandages stay forever.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, that kind of stuff, whatever. But
yeah,
you know, we're not carrying medicine that's going to mm-hmm. expire. So the batteries for the radios, because we went a step ahead and got radios for everybody, mm-hmm. so we could communicate with the command center back here in the trailer.
Okay.
So that if, in the event there was a deployment here in Bell Park, we had communications with the trailer, and the trailer could talk to fire authority and the sheriff.
Are those ham radios? Are they the family radios?
They're walkie-talkies, basically.
Oh, okay.
And there was a base station in the trailer at one time.
It's still there.
It's still there.
Oh yeah, it's been in good shape. Mike has not touched it.
It was, everybody was in communications, because what you had was you had a map of the city, and there were postings. People were posted at certain locations the city, and were there to help provide aid or whatever to people that lived here. So, you know, we took the city map, and we had enough people where we could post people all around the city. Mm-hmm. 3 or 4 people, because you don't do this by yourself. You
can't
do this by yourself.
Definitely not.
So it was either pairs or mm-hmm. four of you in mm-hmm. each mm-hmm. location. And, you know, you communicated what your findings were back to the command center.
Okay.
And the command center was in touch with fire and the sheriff. Mm-hmm. So we had open communications, at least. You know,
that sounds actually more sophisticated than most.
We tested it, you know, from the various points of the city with walkie-talkies, and they all seem to work okay.
Mm-hmm. All those have to be battery tested. And
right.
All that stuff. And, I don't even know how old they are, but...
They give you a list of stuff that you're supposed to keep in your bag mm-hmm. and have it with you at all times. Mm-hmm. You know, you wear the hard hat, you wear the vest and all that stuff.
Oh, it's in mint condition, anything that's been here.
Right, okay. Right.
It's mint condition.
That's great.
Anything I've seen is this wonderful, you know, great shape. And
well, we'll make that.
We can pull together and go, you know, get together and kind of work it through and figure it out and go, even go through that trailer out here, which is sitting here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mike would love to have it used.
Okay.
Instead of sitting there.
Yeah.
It sounds like we have a plan, we have an understanding and good direction for Steve and thank you, Andy, for stepping up on that.
And I know you don't have a huge city staff, but one of the things that's kind of gained some traction and some popularity has been the active shooter drills. I know the sheriffs have been conducting mm-hmm. that in Yorba Linda
mm-hmm. yeah.
Specifically.
There was one at Canyon High School, wasn't there just recently?
They did do the lockdown drill.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But I know that...
you can be getting some more business, too. I'll tell you offline about that.
But I know the lieutenant there did a drill specifically for city staff. And then one of the things that we've offered to kind of piggyback on the back of that training is the hands-only CPR for mm-hmm. your staff, mm-hmm. as well as the Stop the Bleeding. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if we want to expand this even a little bit further down the road.
You've got defibrillator in here, but nobody knows how to
use it. Oh, well, we need to train you then.
Have you guys had an active shooter training here at all with staff?
No.
Okay. That would be valuable, even though it's a small staff.
So, I mean, separate from CERT, but I think.
I've done one in the county.
Okay. I mean, I think we should, at a minimum, offer some AED training, some CPR training, and stop the bleeding training mm-hmm. for your city staff.
Mm-hmm. So I got to let my certification go.
So We'll get you recertified.
The lovely thing about those AEDs is they're very simple to figure out.
Yes. So I had CPR. I've had it all.
Toxic through it.
But you're right. Outside of like a major emergency, the hands-only CPR is great because you're going to keep, you know, what's the main thing? Circulate the blood. There's enough oxygen there to keep you going until someone gets here, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly. If you are capable of being saved, typically that will take care of it. If you're not, you're not. And I think it's 90-some percent of the time it's just not going to be successful, unfortunately. But if there's that small 1%, 2%, 3% chance, then great. You know, and more folks are trained, the better. So thank you, gentlemen. If there's nothing further on that, the budget, Orange County Sheriff's Department. 2018-2019.
Well, I have, and I don't want to share too much because we're going to get a new version, but here is just the old, this was the original version that we had, the one that gets every sticker shock.
That's a document. Thanks, sir.
That was hitting us about 13% increase for next year, which the lieutenant and I have had discussions. I bought him dinner, and we are working on
your
that.
Your predecessor, I think. Or is it you?
Here, in fairness to the sheriff, and I will say, correct me if I'm wrong, Villa Park has been the recipient of a lot of services that we've never paid for. I guess bottom line is the easiest way to say it, right? That is everything from reserves for special events to boat parades to... Mm-hmm. We get Cadillac service on a VW price.
Sure.
And I know that, Ian, I'm saying this for you, but... we can't get to Cadillac payments at once, and I'm not going to get there. It just didn't break the bank. We originally looked at a $183,000 increase, which would sort of like kick our butts pretty severely in our budget. Mm-hmm. When our total budget general fund is $3 million, you see what that would kind of do to it. It just wipes out any growth and whatever. So the lieutenant and I have talked about it, and we are in the process of discussing a couple strategies. One is a phased approach where we get to where we need to over multiple years. That's the sheriff has been very accommodating to that. And the other approach would be that one of the things we always do, we always get an overtime budget, we over budget it. Mm-hmm. And so that's always been because they didn't want to go back to the council and ask for more money if they needed it mid-year. I'm kind of thinking, you know, sometimes when you're tight, better off you just budget and say if we have to go back because of an emergency, mm-hmm. we all go back to the council and say we need more money. But let's not budget what we're not going to use, because we get a rebate every year. Literally, get a rebate of $30,000 to $40,000. So I said, we're debating how far I can push that down. I would like to push it a little bit more than he would. But I'm not afraid to go to you guys and say, hey, we had a fire and we had X number of extra, or we had major shooting or something happened, God forbid, in anything. Let's go to the council and acknowledge the great job the sheriff did, and it's costing us a little bit more to get that kind of service.
Is this is this all all-encompassing, or is there an a la carte?
Well, that's sort of, we deal with, and I don't want to speak for you, but the current sheriff and the new, and one of the candidates has sort of said, you kind of get what we ask for and what we tell you. You get, there's not a lot of extras that you can buy. If we want to buy a motorcycle cop, we can buy extra parking enforcement, but we're pretty much getting what they recommend as basic law enforcement services, correct?
You're at the bare minimum, you have a deputy here. Mm-hmm. And without getting to know too much, there's very few calls that we handle here that are one deputy calls. So on top of just having one deputy here, when we have something happen in the city of Villa Park, I'm pulling from unincorporated areas and other areas to come in here and assist him and to back him up and to keep him safe. I can't go lower than one deputy because then I wouldn't have anyone to respond. There's someone, and that's...
But the SRO we're paying for extra.
Yes.
For instance, however, though, he came in the other day. There was a non-credible threat at the high school the other day. And he said he had 4 or 5 cars out there, squad cars, dealing with interviews and talking to, and dealing with tracking down suspects, et cetera. We're not paying for that. That's how it kind of works right now. We're not paying for that. But they need to pay. Somebody needs to pay at some point, so I get that.
Yeah. As you're always going to get, and we understand that. In the Sheriff's Department, we have a lot of extra resources than, other agencies have that are paid for by the county, our gang teams, our SWAT teams, and things like that. And when we need to pull, them into assistance services and bump our numbers, we typically don't charge the city where they come from, which is one of the benefits that the Sheriff's Department is always going to sell when you're contracting with the Sheriff's Department. This incident he was talking about, it was, you know, there was a threat at the school that we weren't exactly sure the night when it came out exactly how it was going to be, but we need to talk to a young man before he got to school the next morning, and we had plans to do that, but in order to do that and do that safely, we had to have some contingencies in place. Mm-hmm. That required, you know, five deputies in here, 11 lieutenant here, and, you know, I had to keep it. I didn't want the school to explode and right. create a panic there until we had a chance to address this, and fortunately, we were able to address it before it got to that, but, you know, there were six deputies, mm-hmm. you know, involved in this, plus, you know, the SMART team, the school mobile assessment resource team, so we had significant assets out there. And that's something that we're able to bring in there. But, I mean, as far as what we're paying for here, I mean, you're, even with my salary, and it's split among, I cover the city of Villa Park, but I also cover, you know, North Bend Incorporated. So I have almost, you know, 50 staff members that I ultimately supervise. Right. And we're charging, but basically what they're doing is taking my salary and they're breaking it out amongst the 50 some odd staff members that I, you know, supervise, and then they're, I'm overhead, and then they're calling, charging, you know, Villa Park for four. So it's, you know, 8%. But I guarantee you get a little more.
I wish
more.
Your overhead was 8%.
No.
I wish well, that's
8% of my salary.
No, I wish, because we are paying division, department, and county
you
overhead.
Are.
We are paying chunks of a lot of money. And those are discussions, those aren't his, I've had discussion with Brian Waite, the admin guy over there, and the sheriff, I know. We've had those discussions. We continue to have it, and that's where he sort of, you know, the sheriff's budget is a huge budget. They're huge. They've got a lot of pressures, and the cities are making it. You know, our colleagues are making it tough on them even more so by saying, you know, they're doing the study. Now we've participated in a study just to know what's going on, not
right.
because we're dissatisfied. We're the one group that's 5-0 supporting the sheriff.
Right.
However. Some of the cities are putting a lot of pressure on you. Better get those things reimbursed and those kinds of things because we're not paying for them and those mm-hmm. kinds of things. So, you know, when they do the audit, the downsides of the audit, it comes up. Well, this isn't being paid for. Who's paying for it now? And now we'll spread that cost to the cities. And guess what? That's where I'm pushing back a little bit, saying no. You know, we don't want to push too hard, guys. There is going to be an increase for the sheriff. Mm-hmm. It will not be 12.79%. It will be probably in the single digit percentage-wise.
Okay.
But it will be progressive over the next couple of years. We're going to see some growth because of what we do. So some of the things we're talking about is using reserves, like on the boat parade, a little more heavily or things like that, where we don't pull out. I mean, we really do get Cadillac service for these guys. We call, mm-hmm. we want something. Man, they're here. They get it. We don't even question it. We get the Harbor Patrol. We get the Humvee. We get whatever. I mean, we get the sheriff herself coming to the boat parade, right? So we are very fortunate in that regard, but we're going to have to change some of our expectations or decide we're going to fund things and say, hey, look, if we're going to have a boat parade and we're going to have X number of deputies, we're going to have to have some other ways to pay for, you know, mm-hmm. the foundation's going to have a bigger budget or something. So that's sort of what we're trying to get into a little bit here. But I'm separating because basic property, traffic, and resident coverage is the big issue.
Well, that's what I mean by a la carte, you know. It's what's the basic level of service, and then what's over and above for the boat parades. And
we're at it. I think that's the point.
You're at the basic level okay. of bare bones.
We have
service
one deputy 24/7, and what we do candidly when we have things, we actually pull off a deputy at night sometimes to cover other shifts. La la la, you don't want to hear, you know, that doesn't go out, but that's reality because we were doing that with the SRO because. That was one of the things you heard about the SRO being pulled out. It's because we were trying to get coverage and deal within a budget. Mm-hmm. And that was sort of like we're trying to, you know, he's got how many vacancies and trying to deal with deputies here. And I said, well, pull the deputy out. Let's get him in and have that discussion. So we're trying to accommodate and deal with issues, but at not in any way, shape, or form jeopardize like the crime rates and things are going down, mm-hmm. which is a testament to them doing a good job. Mm-hmm. It's just sort of the reality. Things cost money. Much of this, it's not even his issue because retirement rate increases,
right?
Salary increases.
Many things are out of his control.
They're way beyond anything we have control over.
On the
collectively around this table, we might as well.
Most of those are things that are out of control of anyone in this room. I mean, it's board of supervisors making decisions on, mm-hmm. on what the sheriff, you know, the deputies are going to pay, and mm-hmm. you know, the retirement board making decisions on what those, you know, what
so,
those
so
cost
where we're, yeah, where we're going to get to is we're going to adjust where we can, such as the overtime and such as you know, trying to deal with some of the phasing in of some of those things. So we'll get to a lower number, and then we're going to have to come to the recognition that what we do costs money. And that's sort of, you know, so the boat parade is going to cost us a little bit more. The hollow, you know, if you do the national night outs, those kinds of things have been given to us free, and that's what one of the things they're saying is like, hey, if I pull a bunch of deputies that have to come to this, then we're going to pay. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have to sort of come to that realization. And I've told them that we'll recognize that. I'm okay with recognizing that and maybe change, you know, where we can use reserves for certain things. But we're going to pay for them. One of the other things we haven't built in here, too, and I got to talk to you, is about the 4th of July that was just approved. We have additional deputy time we want used to cover the 3rd, 4th, and 5th.
But we're paying to play.
We're paying. Mm-hmm. But I just, we got to build that in. I want to build that in because that was sort of agreed to by the council just last month. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, anyway.
So basically, no action needed, just more of a status update.
Yeah, it will be, you will see that it will be one of the single largest increases in our budget this year. And I don't mean to say that.
Is this coming new fiscal year?
This will come in the new fiscal year.
Is there any increase between now and then?
We will get to this year. He and I are getting there this year.
Okay.
He's you know, great to work with, and so was Lieutenant Puckett. We were fortunate to have two really good guys that talk the language and were able to communicate. We'll get there this year. But July 1, it's going to, the ticker is up.
That's fine.
Is that, have I done you service?
No, and you know, we've had multiple conversations about this. He's beat me up a few times and said, you can't do this, you can't do this. And I said, I got to do this. And he's, you know, push. And he's been a great advocate for the city. And I'm just not saying that he really has been, because he's beat me up a lot more than, you know.
He got a dinner.
I tried to walk away. I got lunch, all right. But I did get salad and soup, so.
Big spender over there.
No, so we're getting there. It is going to be, if you were to look at it and say, oh my gosh, what's this and what can we do? We are doing what we can do, and I will never jeopardize public safety or anything. That's always the mm-hmm. community priority. And that's, you know, we were contacted. I shared with them a way private entity, and I am not meeting with them because I don't think it's appropriate. We are, we're committed. This is the last year of our 5-year contract mm-hmm. with the sheriff, and I'm, you know, 5-year contracts really only mean you're in it for the longer term. It doesn't really, you can get out every year, mm-hmm. but we're going to try and get a longer term agreement with the sheriff again so that it makes life just a little bit better for everybody. We just do renewals and it's not having to do the whole thing over again. We don't get there, but anyway, you guys need to, you'll see something, and you're the first group to be hearing about it, but that will be, it will be a number that it'll pop out at you.
It has, and I appreciate all of your efforts and your understanding with respect to his efforts. Obviously, I have some professional expertise in this, and I understand your piece of the puzzle, but as well as yours, and I appreciate you giving the opportunity to this committee and Robbie and Chief Kovacs and understanding of what's going on. And
no, one of the things I will tell you too is that this is, you know, we have an SRO. I'm committed to an SRO with an active, you know, you have school issues coming up all the time. I'm not about to mess with that. I will tell you, I am approaching the school district about saying you guys ought to be chipping in on something like this because we're protecting your employees too and your students, which not necessarily are all available. We understand we're the host city, mm-hmm. but we don't necessarily have that host fully obligated. I mean, it's not a full right. obligation. So the school district ought to be paying for Orange's SROs as well. You know, I mean, I that's another issue I don't want to get into with them, right. but I've talked to the new superintendent and said, look, I'm there. They should be chipping in on crossing guards and for SROs.
Without a doubt.
So, because that's in here. Everything is, you know, crossing guards are in here and everything's all, it's all inclusive. But I am approaching, and that's another way for us to help deal with not having to
right.
deal with him.
I mean,
let you have the service you need, but you not, you know, not have to nickel you down on everything.
The school district, their employees, the students, the parents of folks that live in Orange are getting a direct benefit of a cost that we have, at least in the past, have funded out of our well-being. But at this point in time, we're having to really sharpen the pencil, and I think it's only fair that Orange Unified School District does share the burden, share the load, and I think that's a very wise decision on your part.
One of the things where we don't have the crossing guard, we talked about putting that light thing there at, I've said, well, it's $6,000. I talked to her and said, why don't you put three? We put three in, and we got a whole system there that mm-hmm. seems to be you know, and then everybody said, we give you credit. I don't care. We'll give you credit. I'm not, right. I don't need to have
anybody. All they for the credit part is...
Well, I know, but they would like to, you know, they want to be doing something, and, you know. So that's what we're doing.
And just beaten up all the time.
Huh?
Beaten up all the time.
Who is?
The school district.
She's fine. She recognizes what the commitment here. And there is no way in the world that you want to pull a deputy out of the SRO out of the schools in the environment we're in now.
Absolutely.
You just don't want to do
that. That would be pure insanity in this environment.
I would be, I'm on record, I'm vehemently opposed to that. I think the efforts, in particular, Brian Benzie, but the program in and of itself, are way too valuable for Villa Park, for Orange, for everybody. And I would vote against anything that says pull the SRO out, blanket. So thank you.
Okay, well, that's all we have. I just want to give you guys an update.
Anything else? Anybody have anything else? There's nothing else agendized. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll adjourn. And look forward to hearing from you guys. Right. Robbie, you and I got a little bit.
Let me do some research and what we've done as far as certain and training stuff.
Perfect.
And
I gave you my card the other day, right?
Okay. Yeah.
No, we need to get together.
Yeah, you know,
I need to show you around.
I would love that.
Okay.
I would
love
that.
Let's see what's going on. Happy to be here.
Time this week.
I know you're busy. And we can even do it before the board meeting.
Okay.
If you want. If you want to come in an hour and a half early or whatever.
That would actually probably work out then.
Okay.
As far as the headquarters go,
yeah.
I was in a CIP meeting.
Yeah.
Last week, and I asked for some numbers from facilities, fleet management, and IT,
okay,
as it pertains to our local fire station. I wanted to get an idea of where they're at, what their needs are,
right.
what we can do, at least from my position as a director, to help get them if there's some, you know, if there's some squeaky wheel, mm-hmm. if there's some. If there's a squeak wheel and I need to get it to get some grease
right.
from,
cool.
you know,
right.
the chief, then I kind of want to get an idea. I'd like to visit them.
Okay.